Another day, another draft here on Splash Play, including another entry in Best Ball Mania 5 with $1.5 million to first place. And this is my 69th stream draft of 2024. Been going hard since January. Today we get to celebrate with a very nice draft. And of course, I am already in a draft room and the first pick already happened during that spiel. But Christian McCaffrey goes 101, draft 69 here. And we're going to make lots of, I'm sure, adjacent puns today. The 6'9 God is here. I don't want to be the 6'9 God after what has happened this weekend, but we will for today. Does seem appropriate. Shouts to the chat, though. I got Mr. Mister in here. He's in the 10-hole snatch catcher. So once again, I'm surrounded by regulars here, FFB holes as well. So we'll see what these guys do. And we'll always fun with the regulars being ahead of you, but we'll see what these guys do in this draft. Of course, Mr. Mister, top 10 BBM finisher last year. So a guy to watch in the 10 hole here, see what he does. He's doing some interesting things. Sent me a team yesterday for review. Of course, one of the perks you have here of being a Splash Play member, a Squirt Squad member, so you get up to 10 team reviews for me a month. And I will give you an honest critique. Mr. Mister was really excited about his team, had some fun stacks. I think it was Houston. There was one other one I liked, had like three stacks that looked pretty good. But, you know, the running back room didn't look the best. So I do point that out, try to say, hey, here's how I would maybe approach that to get you more running backs. That's the value add of the team review. So I would say that even if you are a top 10 BBM finisher, hopefully you can add value to your process here by just giving you unfiltered eyes. The 11 hole, though, live to take some of the guys I like. We'll see what we do. Oh, cool. Thanks, Chris. Snipe this hoe. What? Fuck off. I think let's set the table right away. Go fucking run a lap here, Chris. Why is it the Chris's? Why is it the Chris's that can't support a fellow Chris? You're on stream. Sure, I go by Spags. Name's still Chris, though. Support your boy. See, my drafts are fire. Okay. I've seen your drafts. Your drafts do a good job, too. Doesn't mean it can't get better. All right, we got snatch catchers here. Our guy Christopher going in the 9 hole. There we got Mr. Mister in the 10 hole, and we'll see what these gentlemen do. Swear to God. Hope they don't do something I don't like. Mr. Mister, got to take Puka here, you would think. Does take Puka. And of course, I think Garrett Wilson should go somewhere else in the world. Ideally, the second round. Marvin Harrison, come on up to the first round, buddy. You're my first pick. MHJ, let's go. Chris on Chris Violence. It's true. This guy coming in calling me a hoe and saying a snipe? Get the fuck out of here, man. I don't even know you. I don't know. Just because we share the same first name. Don't get too colloquial, buddy. All right, Garrett Wilson falling a little bit here. I guess if there were time to do it, this would be it. Harrison and Drake London, I find to be more fun. But we will instead scoop with a little bit of a value here. We'll take our Garrett Wilson chair. If he's in the second round, I can live with it. If he's in the first round, I don't want none. That's how we feel about Garrett Wilson here. Garrett Wilson, the only player who doesn't get affected by new players coming in, doesn't get affected by camp hype for guys coming in. Malachi Corley, the Jets were demanding to draft him. Both Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas over there were texting about how bad we have to get Malachi Corley. But yeah, I'm sure Garrett Wilson's target share doesn't change. Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't change with adding Mike Williams as well. Yeah, but we'll take Garrett Wilson today. But one of the biggest fucking ADP illogicals we're going to see. Thank you, Chris. Other Chris, I would support you, Spags. I appreciate that. Both Mr. Mister and Chris Ford supported me today by giving me Garrett Wilson. What a treat. Brandon, how are you going to the 1-2 turn, though? No, thank you. Splashing in the shower watching Splash Play. Love to hear that. Love to imagine you guys nude showering while I do a draft. Especially draft 69. Say, so just put that... take a seat right here, buddy. It's draft 69. Rodgers a concern too, 40-year-old coming off major injury. I agree. I think there's a lot of reasons to think Garrett Wilson shouldn't keep going at pick 10, pick 11, but the markets disagree with me. Markets are going to disagree though. That's where you got to make your stands when you do think there's something that you don't quite, doesn't quite pass your sniff test. Sometimes you got to draw the line a little bit. But that does mean though, if you draw the line to pick 11, you can take a guy a little bit later if he does fall to you. That's how I like to draft. I like to draw my lines with guys. You guys know the takes. You guys know who I like and don't like when you watch streams here every day, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m., but I do try to adapt, do try to diversify more my portfolio. A very important part of the game here. Challenging your own biases. Even if you could think something's going to happen the same way, can't draft that way every time. So that's why we take Garrett Wilson, even though, no thank you. Adam, not nude, got socks on. There we go. Shower with your socks on. GM Spags, glad to see you're part of the MHJ to Round One Community Day. I fucking have been a part of this community for a long time. Me and Harrison Jr., we've been going to the first round for a minute. There was one point I took about pick 7 in the big board. I'm willing to go there. I think people's discomfort with rookies is still here. We talked about it before. Our guy Daigle last year did a great job over at ETR. Now John Daigle. I remember tweeting him about this, and he had gone back at me saying rookie tight ends can never go off. Never happened before. Never going to happen again. And last year, that was the big bet. It was that rookie tight ends could step on the field, be good from day one. And we had a couple of them that were pretty good. Obviously, Sam Laporta being the big outlier there. But Musgrave was passable a good amount of weeks. Michael Mayer didn't quite get there. Had a few usable weeks, though. Obviously, Dalton Kincaid did get there enough. So that's, you got two out of the big four that hit. People really have a hard time, I think, accepting that in the modern NFL, rookies can just come in, hit the field, and be good day one. And that is a big part of my thesis overall. I would say for tomorrow, though, guys, I think tomorrow is going to be a 10:45 start time day. Just to get some new names in the room. I know respect to our guys here, but I would diversify your portfolio too for the people that want to be in every stream draft. Not necessarily for our guy Jeremy in the two hole. Like, come on, man, get some other draft rooms. I think would be what I would recommend. But he takes his Josh Allen. We'll see what he does. I'm sure he's going to try to set up some Keon Coleman, some Curtis Samuel stuff later on. See what he does there. Just did a draft where the first QB to go past ADP was Will Levis. The Hoovian, I don't think I like you because I think you called me one of the worst drafters in YouTube on one of Pete's videos. So fuck off. Your team, I don't care. I remember all. I see all and I remember all. Never doubt that about me. You can earn your way back in with some good chats, Hoovian. But right now, thumbs down. Cut me off in a lane. Thumbs down. Travis Kelce going at 33. Josh Jacobs right after him. We are on the board. We can make some bets that I'm not making enough of right now. DK Metcalf here would be a pick that I'm not getting enough of that I do have some curiosity about. Ryan Grubb taking over as the Seahawks offensive coordinator. Big thing for him. So I would say for DK Metcalf, I'm very comfortable with him at 30. And if he's going to go at 35, I need to get more comfortable scooping him up there. So DK Metcalf, the biggest beneficiary, his role in this offense can potentially be Romo Dunze's role in Washington last year. So that is how that goes. I want new people, so here's my new start time. Let's. I mean, the thing is that people would actually have to do that. And then if I don't do it, then they're in a draft room without me. So that's it's war games we have to play. The people's confidence here. Lamar goes ahead to Jalen Hurts, which not something I'd agree with. Devontae Smith, Cooper Kupp, Tank Dell. There we go. That was a draft. You sabotage all Pete's pick in the draw. I didn't sabotage his picks. I made my own picks. We disagreed with them, and I was the one controlling the board. I'm still a good team. I only draft good teams on stream. I don't think there's been a bad team I've put up since like week one of the big boards. I challenge you to find one. But anyway, again, Pepper Charm remembers. Spags remembers. You remember too. So the apology must be as loud as the disrespect. Is what we say here. It's going to be the most valuable running back to own from your Washington Commanders. It's Brian Robinson Jr. It's what it's been. Casual players want to go to Austin Eckler, want to think he's going to be back doing Chargers things. He's not. He's a pass down back. I think he still can get some goal line work, but this is Brian Robinson's team. They've been clear about that from day one. It's a defensive minded team that wants to run the ball with power. That's Brian Robinson's job. And for Eckler, I don't get the signing, honestly, and it could portend maybe bad things for the team overall that if you're drafting Jane Daniels, you don't draft an Austin, you don't sign an Austin Eckler. Like, he's not going to get enough checkdowns to be valuable there. So maybe they have more of a role combined. Maybe they just are not a smart team. Lots to find out. It's Brian Robinson Jr. Clinton Portis was the Washington running back to have. Okay. He had a good run. Good meme run. He was crushing the Deadspin days. Getting blog posts left and right. Splash Grub Curious. I'm Ryan Grub Curious. You guys know I'm as in the bag for offensive coordinators as anybody. You'll see doing fantasy football content there. Think the offensive coordinator movements. One of the most important advantages in fantasy football, just knowing what coaches are going to do certain things, what coaches did their previous stop. And a lot of people don't research that, but it's very important to know what Ryan Grub did. Ryan Grub did Jameis Winston ball at the University of Washington last year. So if he brings that to Seattle, So they're going to run the ball because they have a defensive-minded head coach, but you can run the ball, set up the deep pass, and Ryan Grubb loves the deep pass. That much we did learn last year. Austin Eckler, incoming 5,000-yard season. Well, then I'd have gotten that wrong. Then I would have gotten a lot of things on Washington wrong. But Eckler could benefit, I guess, like if Robinson gets hurt, if Eckler really outperforms Robinson in camp. I don't see that happening. Robinson is going to get, he's going to get you those 3 yards. He's not going to maybe get you 8 on some carries, but he's going to get you 3 every time. And for some coaches, a Dan Quinn type in particular, those 3 yards can be as good as gold. Oh, no, no, no. We have to adapt with time. Commanders. I like football team more. I thought Washington football team was a vaguely fun name. We're not going to be regressive, though. Don't drop the hashtag in here. I guess this guy with his username is clearly committed, but I think it's not a great thing, guys. I don't know if it's the hill that I'd want to die on. All right, we already 0-0-4-0. We're doing some 0-RB bullshit, and I don't see it stopping right now with Terry McLaurin right in our faces. Bring him in. Sit right here, Terry McLaurin, at draft 69. 5 wide receivers to start. Do we go extreme 0-RB? Do we call it a cap off right now? I'm going to figure it out. Team so far, though, Marvin Harrison Jr., Garrett Wilson, DK Metcalf, Cooper Kupp, Terry McLaurin. What is Mr. Jones and me? Oh, Counting Crows reference. That's fun. Mr. Jones and me. Gonna reach for George Kittle. You know, we made this bet on Seattle. I think at this point, Kenneth Walker would make some amount of sense. Not one of my favorite plays in the world. We also didn't take Drake London, so a bet on Kyle Pitts could work too. And Christian Kirk, a little bit of a discount, is not a bad play either. Let's just go extreme 0-RB today. Look, I'm not a big Christian Kirk fan, but at this point, I see a guy who's 6 picks after ADP, 7 picks after ADP. Not one of my biggest favorite players for sure. Rather make the bet on Brian Thomas. And really that's the biggest thing to me is that I think that Ingram, Kirk, those guys are going to move the ball pretty well between the 20s. But once it gets to the red zone, you go to your freak athlete. That's Brian Thomas, who was over a 1 EPA per target guy at LSU last year in the red zone. He's going to be a jump ball monster in the NFL. So that's the concern there. But Christian Kirk, I mean, he's going to have a 1,000-yard year. I think that's really something I'm not afraid of saying right now. I think he's going to be a key part moving that ball downfield. So for Christian Kirk to get him at a little bit of a discount and to be a guy that I'm breaking tight with a little bit, I like to start for wide receiver. Mr. saying, thank you for not taking Pitts. It was a close call for me, and I'm not paying attention to anybody else's teams, but there we go. We got the double stack for Mr. as well. So a win-win. I've got an extreme 0-RB build where I'm not going to touch wide receiver again, at least until round 16, 17, 18 range. And let's go. We're going to pound some running backs here. GA asking, you ever go 6 wide receivers and stop? That's what you should do. Hayden Winks has a whole article about it. If you search extreme 0-RB or radicalized 0-RB, you'll find the article that he wrote. And I thought that was one of the more important ones that I saw last year that I built a lot of my best teams were extreme 0-RB, where you go 6 in the first 6 rounds, or for 7, I guess you could also do. But ideally the first 6, and then you don't hit it again until maybe you take a luxury receiver later on. But that's why I'm doing it today. I've not been doing enough extreme 0-RB so far this year because it's pretty cozy to deviate from wide receiver in round 6, round 5 even. So that's the biggest benefit you're going to have. It's like, I think one of the biggest takeaways I've had from a lot of the data guys, including Winks, including Mike Leone as well at ETR, is that like in general, you know, the things that are going to make you feel uncomfortable are probably your best builds for best ball. So that means having a little bit less wide receiver than you want. When you use all that draft capital early on, like you don't need more volume later. You made your bet on 6 of the top receivers out of the top, you know, 60-ish, I guess you could say, picks overall. So for me, that's how I would approach it, but I get it. The tendency is going to be like you want to add another receiver, even if you do grab a bunch early. But yeah, I would say if you go 5, then you have the flexibility to add 2 receivers later on. If you go 6, you really shouldn't touch it again until you feel like you're good at every other position, at least. So I was making fun of you for being an RB piggy like 2 years ago. And you got annoyed with me. Look where we are now. I don't recall that. I got annoyed with you taking my graphics. That's what I recall. Then those back in the day had taken my underdog graphics and then pasted over my name and wrote promo code Bindles or a promo code Splash. And he pasted over it. But I've never really been an RB piggy though. I do it in some rooms. Here and there. You got to break type a little bit. Winning BBM build is a 3.663, pretty weird. But he did go zero RB and took them all early. I don't think he was extreme zero RB. I'm not recalling Fareed Seam offhand, of course, the BBM four winner, who is at least a splash play watcher occasionally. But yeah, I think he might have been extreme zero RB. I think he was like six out of first seven rounds, but close enough. You could say it was basically an extreme zero RB team. You've come a long way, Bindles. You don't have to be ashamed anymore. Bindles doing good work in his channel too. Doing some drafters drafts I saw. All right, 0060 here. And look, this aligned perfectly. We're skimming on running back still. We're taking Kyler Murray here for our first QB, correlating with Marvin Harrison. We know the locations. We got it. Pin's been dropped to Arizona. Kyler Murray, come on down. JSN goes to our Counting Crows fan in 12 hole. Takes Christian Watson. Nice pick for him. Am I spooked at all by Trey Benson coming to Arizona? Can Connor fall more? I think we have this correlated bet on Arizona. Let's just finish the bet. And I think no matter what, Trey Benson, I think, can take the pass game role away. He's not going to take the goal line role away. Like, that's James Connor. It's the one thing he's done well his entire career. So we're going to go James Connor here. Let's give this team a read. It's an extreme zero RB build, a 1.160 so far through eight rounds. We've got Kyler Murray at QB, James Connor at running back, Marvin Harrison Jr. So we've got the Arizona triple trying to really target the touchdowns. It's possible that we run into a Trey McBride team in the finals. That would not be great for us. If McBride goes off and these guys don't, but that's the bet. Garrett Wilson, big discount on him relative to his first round draft capital that won't go away. DK Metcalf, a little discount there. Cooper Kupp, a little discount. We just scooped up little discounts, I think, enough to make this a unique team. So maybe less so by reaching for Connor, but I still like it. Big game, James. There we go. Look, I mean, you can give him a lot of critiques. He was really fucking good last year. James Connor, let's pull up the numbers real fast because I think it is one of those things that slipped under people's radar a little bit last year. Amidst a season that didn't really matter that much, but James Connor last year, 0.09 EPA per rush, 0.07 EPA per pass, getting 18.5 and 10 touches game. Also, every time he was on the field, they were trying to give him the ball at a pretty high rate as well. Give him the ball 45% of the time that he's on the field. It's pretty much Josh Jacobs range, David Montgomery range. Connor's good. But you're making the bet against Benson. That's the tough part. And Mr. had Connor in his seventh place team. There you go. He was quietly just getting there a lot that year. He was definitely a better part of a zero RB build because he did have, was banged up for that stretch, the Amari DiMercato period that we all look so fondly back upon. But that was, you know, for the most part, besides the injuries, like, Connor was good all year. Probably speaks more to Arizona's will more than anything. You know, defensive head coach, a team that did want to keep the ball in the QB's hands a little bit, especially earlier in that part of the year. But Connor kept getting there down the stretch with Kyler back in, which I would say vaguely a surprise. Kyler being a mobile QB, you'd think he'd take a little bit more away. Big week 17. Actually, I didn't even remember that for Connor, but there we go. And I'm sure if a guy had a big week 17 last year, he's going to do it again. That's how that works, right? This just means he's good in week 17. And just like that, the 12 spots plan is ruined. What was he doing? Taking Niners? I don't know. I don't think the 12 spots got a plan. Besides just, you know, again, the sweet songs of Counting Crows. That's always his plan. He's going back to the days of Friends. We're just living in the 90s. We're just remembering the mid-90s favorably in the 12 hole. Trey Benson goes at 102. I think the split's about right. Connor 86, Benson 102. Benson should not get steamed up past Connor, which is what was happening briefly in BBM. That should not happen until camp, if ever. If he's going to camp and he's splitting first seam work and it's happening week one, week two, week three, week four of training camp, then you know Benson should maybe be pulling closer to Connor. But for right now, it's me, Connor. Connor's coming down because of Benson. I don't think he should. Do I think Dotson will be overtaken by Luke McCaffrey? Not necessarily. Dotson to me is a better player. McCaffrey, I just haven't seen really as a guy that I want to be on very much. But, you know, obviously the draft capital's there. All right, what do we do here? What do we do? Obviously, Mike Williams not in play for us because we are a zero RB team. This guy. I don't trust this guy. Jaden Daniels, come on down. We're correlating with our Washington, Arizona stacks, baby. I am fucking any team where you get a mobile QB as your QB1, Jaden Daniels your QB2. Just send him to the playoffs now. It's what I'd say. Jaden Daniels remains my favorite pick in a draft. Though, unfortunately, my Drake parody cover did not do well. Disappointed here. Thought we could push Brian Robinson back. This guy takes Brian Robinson. Brian Robinson would have been a very nice addition here. Not a big Eckler believer, but I'm going to make that Robinson bet a lot. So we will, in fact, take Austin Eckler here. I gave my case against Eckler. Really don't think he's the right running back for Washington. When you have a mobile QB like a Jaden Daniels, the checkdowns aren't there. You have a good goal line back in Brian Robinson or a trusted goal line back. But I think when you're stuck here, when you get scooped on a player you want, you just got to make the inverse bet. So this is killing this in terms of me being a team where like I have my full faith in, because I like the way this started a lot. If I had Brian Robinson, I think the team is a smash through 10 rounds. Instead, it's now we're doing, you know, alternate universe shit a little bit. Let's give the team a read here. Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels at QB, James Conner, Austin Eckler at running back, wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr., Garrett Wilson, DK Metcalf, Cooper Kupp, Terry McLaurin, and Christian Kirk are my wide receivers. So an extreme zero RB team, and we're going to make up running backs at volume. Love the Richardson or Murray with Daniels team. Yeah, that's it. I mean, honestly, Hurts with Daniels feels pretty good. Allen with Daniels would feel pretty good. Anybody you're getting where you're just getting two rushing QBs who can give you 30 to 40 points in week 17, that's the goal. And Jaden's one of those guys to me. I like at this point, and it sucks because we have fucking four more months left until the season starts. I just want to see Jaden out there. I want to see him out there shutting down the critics immediately. And it does seem like the markets are getting more faith in Jaden Daniels. As we talked about, there's a guy going the 120s in the big board, start of BBM. Now we're talking he's in the 110s. I think he should keep moving up until he's in the late 80s, personally. But I don't think he'll ever get to quite that high of a price tag. But he should get close to where AR was last year, at least for portions of BBM. So I think Jaden continues to move, but we'll see. Because I feel like media people down on Jaden, but the market's coming along with Jaden in the way that I believe. So I'll keep scooping Jaden. And this is my sixth share of Jaden. The 6'9 God is back again with his precious sixth share of Jaden Daniels. Love how correlated I am with this squad. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Jameson Crowder is the one you need for Washington stacks. Everyone's getting trolled. Jameson Crowder's done. Just because a guy was worth it a couple years ago, now he's back to a team where he had success. Obviously, it's a completely different team right now. And Crowder, his role is Jahan Dotson's role. His role is Luke McCaffrey's role. Both guys are slot guys, or at least were in college. And Dotson operating mostly out of the slot last year as well. But it's a new regime. It's a new offense. So we will see. But, you know, your three wide receiver set is probably going to be McLaurin, McCaffrey, and Dotson. So you can make that bet however you want. I would be willing to make any version of the Washington bet because that's how good Jaden Daniels is. I've said it enough times on stream, but I'll keep saying it because we're going to keep getting new people in. Jaden Daniels is a combo on paper of CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson. Like, that's it. Analytically, plus EPA throw at every level. Great downfield. The one thing is he struggles with pressure more than both Stroud and AR does. So that could be something that maybe you critique him for it. Maybe you think he's going to melt down like Daniel Jones did last year, give away 1.3 points of EPA every time he drops back under pressure. That can happen. I don't think it's going to happen, but it could happen. But that's really the biggest flaw in his game. Everything else, to me, the most pristine prospect I think you'll ever get in an NFL draft besides the age. If he were 20 and doing this, you know, it would look even better, but obviously can't have it all, right? Was Jaden's EPA under pressure, just out of curiosity? Yeah, Jaden last year pressured on 20% of dropbacks, which is a little bit low for comparison's sake. Caleb Williams pressured on 31% of dropbacks. That USC offensive line was a disaster, so that's why. But Jaden, negative 0.5 EPA per dropback. Caleb Williams, negative 0.7. Drake May, negative 0.4. J.J. McCarthy, negative 0.1. And then Bo Nix, somehow a positive EPA under pressure, a 0.1 positive EPA. So he is the outlier there. But Jaden, that's the one weakness. The pressure-to-sack ratio, not great. And his overall performance under pressure, a little bit less good than you'd want to see. But I think he can get there. Let's see. Got Connor 103, the Daniels 127. That's pretty nice. But consider doing night streams. I've considered it, but I'm not really a night content person. For me, nighttime is usually when I'm hanging out, smoking weed. Obviously, late earlier in the evening before the kid goes to bed. Like, I'm usually occupied 5 to 7 hanging out with the fam, so Yeah, not a night streamer. I like doing it during the working hours, but you get more views at night, so that's the trade-off. But you feel like at night is when I don't want to talk anymore. Usually, especially after I hang out with the wife for a little, I'm like, I'm done. I'm tapped. I'm a workday streamer. Does it feel weird that Daniel's ADP? All right, well, we'll talk about that in a sec. All right, picks coming up here. We need running backs, of course, and we are going to take him here. We're going to take Chase Brown as our first one. 2-3-6-0 here. We have to ignore temptation. Obviously, we could have some extra correlated players. Could take Jahan Dotson to correlate with Jaden Daniels. Could take Gabe Davis to correlate with our little play on Christian Kirk, but we're not going to do that here. All right, he took both running backs. This guy fucking Mr. Jones. He's the one killing me. It's not Mr. and Christopher Ford. It's fucking Mr. Jones and me. Siphoning the RB value away. All right. Zeke already went, right? Yeah, all right. Again, I still think Zeke's the better bet in the Dallas backfield, but we'll take Rico Dowdle for this one. Do not enjoy it. My RB room should be better with an extreme zero RB. That's the frustrating part here. But the team so far, let's give it a read. 2-4-6-0, Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels, James Conner, Austin Eckler, Chase Brown, Rico Dowdle. We're going to make it up in volume at running back here. I think this is a 7 RB build. I don't love Dowdle being my RB4 and Eckler being my RB2 either, to be honest. Marvin Harrison Jr., Garrett Wilson, DK Metcalf, Cooper Kupp, Terry McLaurin, and Christian Kirk. And we have no tight ends yet. So probably a 3 tight end build, probably a 7 RB build. And we'll see what else we do with that. Mr. Jones, know what I did to Mrs. Jones. Yeah, well. Zeke is such a smash. I can't believe all the Dust Bowl RBs I'm drafting. I think they're worth it right now. Zeke getting that spot, worth it. But I take Zeke enough that I'm willing to make the bet on Rico Dowdle here and there. And that's, you know, the biggest lesson of this video is really that, where it's, you know, I don't believe in Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson falls to me in an ADP I'm comfortable with. I'll take Garrett Wilson. I don't believe in Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler aligns in an ADP. When I get scooped, I'm the guy I prefer more in that backfield. You take Austin Eckler. Like, that to me is, if you're hopping in the drafts right now in BBM and that's not how you draft, that's what I would try to do. Especially if you're one of those, like, I'll say exposure whores, those people here that's getting crazy exposures, putting up 50% exposures, and you're planning to keep them all throughout BBM. That's the part that I would change right away. It's like you leverage against yourself in different drafts when the ADPs align. And trying to be aware of your own biases is a big part. Obviously, the Brick Draft Caddy tool, the Spike Week tools, the things that show your exposure live, that'll be your best shit test in real time if you're drafting on a laptop or a desktop. But, you know, for me, it's like being aware of what you're doing and knowing your takes and what your biases you fall into. And obviously, we've skewed away from a few of those here. Rico's a better late season value, maybe. Rico's had a shot, man. Like, Rico was basically the same player as Zeke last year, but he's got less trust. So to me, like, Rico, if Rico were a guy with tremendous juice, like if Rico were Jalen Warren, even if Rico were like Jaleel McLaughlin level, I'd go like, all right, I get it. But he's just showed, he's like a mid power back and a mid pass game back. He's like replacement level, which is okay on a team building thing. If you're Dallas, give me 5 replacement level guys and we'll hope that one of them ends up being better than replacement level, you know, game to game or over the course of a year. But in terms of like what Rico Dowdle did last year, there's nothing I see that would make me think he's like, oh, he's going to really figure it out and make a leap. This is also like year 4 for him, isn't it? A negative 0.06 EPA per rush, 0.17 EPA per pass, but only 6.9 instead of touches a game, which again, nice number. 13.5% avoided tackle rate. This doesn't do it for me. And they really didn't give him, I guess he got 1 red zone rush a game. I don't know. I think the bet's still Zeke. To me, Rico's just a bet that you can make at a cheaper ADP. But I think it's an either or bet. I don't think it's like a Zeke starts hot, Rico Dowdle comes on strong, unless you're playing injury stuff. Najee going to Dallas, I think that one's already been shot down. I think people are connecting a dot that's not really there. Taking shitty players at a discount is seriously a great strategy. It's funny, like, it's not even shitty players. It's just players where, as we talk about enough here, with everything in betting, everything in best ball, everything you're going to do, but really everything in gambling, game of probabilities, that's it. So, like, I believe that Zeke's a better Dallas bet, but what's the probability? It's probably, like, to me, 75% chance that he leads that backfield as a primary goal line back, and a 25% shot that Rico, that Royce Freeman even, like, whoever else they bring in there, can get some value going and it could be better than Zeke. But you have to play that probability sense. So 75% of the time, you should be taking Zeke when he aligns and the ADP makes sense. And the other 25% of the time, you should be taking the other backs when the ADP is aligned and it makes sense for your team. But to me, that's how you build. You're trying to build probabilistically. All right. So we do get a couple little followers here, which helps out a lot. We get Marshawn Lloyd. Let's bring him in here because this guy is taking all the good running backs. And we'll see what we get on the way back. I have no clue what I would take on this next pick, guys. I don't know. There's a million different options to take right here. We're going to walk this motherfucker down, Mr. Jones and me. Mr. Jones, what are you scared to take Jalen Wright? What are you scared to take J.K. Dobbins? Come on, Mr. Jones. Yeah, you take Jalen Wright. That's what you do. Why'd you take Jalen Polk, too? Take double Jalen's, Mr. Jones. Mr., don't do that. All right, we walked him down. We got Ben Sinnott. I don't think he's going to take Ben Sinnott, but you know how we do here. Team so far, 2-5-6-1. We just walk motherfuckers down when they're on the turn. We're on Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels at QB. Love the QB room. RB, James Conner, Austin Eckler, Chase Brown, Rico Dowdle, Marshawn Lloyd. Make it up at volume. Marshawn Lloyd, by the way, fucking 30 spots undervalued in ADP right now. All the signal in the world from Green Bay is going to have a role from day one. So Marshawn Lloyd to me, love this pick at pick 155, especially after ADP. Marvin Harrison Jr., Garrett Wilson, DK Metcalf, Cooper Kupp, Terry McLaurin, and Christian Kirk. And a tight end, we got ourselves Ben Sinnott. Not according to the Kansas State announcers. They call him Sinnott over and over and over again. GM, brother, smoking a joint, doing drafts, the best in it. Oh, we doing... doing British. Hey, governor. But it is. It's a nice thing to do. No, I'm not a joint smoker. I am a vape smoker. If you want to really know. Though I have smoked a blunt on stream before. We did our DraftKings draft last year. And that was fun. It's not something I do normally. I was waiting to talk about Lloyd since your build here. Look, to me, if you look at the Spags rankings, I think it'll tell you a tale about Marshawn Lloyd. To me, I've said it enough times, he's a Tyjae Spears, a Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry. That's the worst case outcome. Best case outcome, he's got a lot more juice. Josh Jacobs, they can exit after that deal in 1 year. It's a 4-year deal on paper. It's a 1-year guarantee. Marshawn Lloyd is alive, man. He's got all the juice in the world. He's got a good build as well. Lots of positive signal from the offensive coordinator, from Matt LaFleur as well. They've been talking positively about him. To me, especially for a zero RB build, like Lloyd is one of the best picks in the draft right now. Like he went behind Kamani Vidal, which is not the move, I don't think. No talent guy coming from Troy. We've talked about it enough on stream. Jim Harbaugh, willful guy, going to force him onto the field potentially, but you have to beat out Gus. You have to beat Dobbins. And I don't think the talent's there to do that. It's got to be something that these guys want to force him on there, that Roman and Harbaugh want to force him on the field. To me, Marshawn Lloyd, it's like you're getting signal that this guy's going to play. So why would he go behind a guy that you're making a bet that maybe he can play while making an enormous leap up from competition? Like coming from Troy, the college, not like coming from Troy, USC. Like that's not it. You're going to need 555 DK drafts given juicy promo. I don't have enough money for that right now. My bank, as you guys know, my bankroll goes to fucking funding a startup. When we get funded by somebody else, then I can start playing around with things more. But I'm just BBM and then maybe DK Millie. DK is Millie going up. I'm not even sure if I'm going to max that right now, but we'll see. Probably needs to raise money. It's not easy. My gambling bankroll now goes to funding a company. So that's the realities of things here. Sacrifice we make to build enterprise. Bucky Irving, good quotes from new OC Liam Cohen, who did a little bit of a press conference there for Tampa Bay. Talked about Bucky Irving, gave him some platitudes, talked about his juice when he has the ball in his hands. I think once again, we have escaped the draft capital portion of things where Bucky Irving, he shouldn't be paying the price for having bad athletics at this point. You should be paying the price of him coming in and taking share away from Rashad White day one, whether that be as a pass game back, hopefully more given the juice he has. But Bucky Irving, to me, he had Marshawn Lloyd, I think, Ray Davis. Like this pocket, actually, very nice RB pocket to hit if you grab the right running backs, or at least, you know, what I think are the right running backs. Funding company hookers and blow. No. Official pronunciation of Sinit. There we go. Alex agrees with me. I've watched a lot of fucking Ben Sinnott tape, and I know the K-State guys were saying Ben Sinnott. If you're following streamers saying Sinnott, and I know Pete says Sinnott, no respect to Pete, but it's Sinnott. 2561. But then again, you know, Kamani Vidal is spelled like Vidal, so, you know, I get it. All right. The bet on Carolina is getting worse, but we got to get another RB in. It's just a volume play at this point. Chuba Hubbard, come on down. Adding Rashad Penny to Carolina, not a great thing. Why did they add Rashad Penny, you might ask? Dave Canales was with Rashad Penny the last time that he got played and had juice. Philadelphia didn't like him, but he had a ton of juice the year before last in Seattle. Before he got hurt, Kenneth Walker took over as a result. So I don't know how to handle Rashad Penny. I'm not going to do it again after he couldn't get on the field for Philadelphia, but I'll take Chuba Hubbard at pick 180. And... man, we gotta get tight end going too. But we still need running backs, and running back is not going to get better in the next few rounds. So we're going to go Roshon Johnson here. We're bleeding them out at running back. 7 running backs here. If you can't get quality, you make it up in quantity. 2 QB build, Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels. Running back, we've got 7 now. James Conner, Austin Eckler, Chase Brown, Rico Dowdle, Marshawn Lloyd, Chuba Hubbard, Roshon Johnson. I worry, and this is the thing you should consider when you're drafting teams, how many of these guys are going to have projections heading into week 17? How many of these guys are going to have real roles? I have concerns for Rico, for Chuba, for Eckler to some extent, for Roshon more so. So, like, we could potentially have, like, 3 zeros here, which would not make me feel great. Rest of them, though, have some kind of role. So that's kind of the main bet there. Wide receiver, we have Marvin Harrison Jr., Garrett Wilson, DK Metcalf, Cooper Kupp, Terry McLaurin, Christian Kirk. And a 1 tight end build with Ben Sinnott. And I see no reason to add any more, right? Ben Sinnott's all you need. This year's Sam Laporta. Sinnott in it. Sinnott in it indeed. Rashad White's the anti-Buck Irving. Rashad White, elite RAS athlete, terrible at football. Yeah, I was really shocked that he did not avoid more tackles overall the last couple years. What did he do this year? Rashad White this past year, negative 0.13 EPA per rush is not good. He was better in the pass game, even though they did kind of rip the pass game role from him down the stretch, but a 0.2 EPA per target. But yeah, 9.9% avoided tackle rate for Rashad White. That's like zero juice. That's not where you want to be. And Bucky in college last year was, what, over 33%, I think? Bucky in college, obviously he's going to come down in the pros. Yeah, Bucky last year led everybody in college football besides Marshawn Lloyd and avoided tackle rate 34% and a 0.2 EPA per rush, which some of that is going to be Oregon, but, you know, it's my bet here. People disagree in the industry. So, like, you know, follow your lead however you want to, but I believe production at a high level in college begets production in the NFL, and Bucky produced in college at a high level. So that's basically it. Contigo, Garrett Wilson. Well, he's gone now, but that could have been a play. I still wanted the RB7, though. Pete always fucks up. We all do. Like, I fuck up pronunciations, too. But, like, you know, when it's a guy that I'm in the bag for, I do try to get that right. You think it's minus EV to draft in the morning while most casuals are at work and where most sharps are drafting at the time? Interesting question. The softest time to draft is always overnight because you get drunk people not paying attention, people falling asleep. So that's still the one I would fundamentally say is the softest. But, you know, your mileage may vary. All right, I think Jatavion Sanders should be higher. Got one of the best outcomes overall. So we're doing 2 rookie tight ends here, which I can live with. But, you know, might want to add a 3rd tight end, but we'll see what Mr. Jones and me does. After he's been throwing me curveballs all game. All right, 2762. He takes Chig and Estime, 2 guys who I would have been okay with. Tight end. I am still okay making a bet on Michael Mayer. Darren Waller is not retired yet. Tucker Kraft to me is contingent value, but okay, contingent value probably gets you some work. Dulcich, maybe. I'm still in the bag for Michael Mayer enough as a tight end 3 to take him here. Believe that the Raiders are going to run a lot of 12 personnel next year. That's been one of my beliefs, which would still be like, you know, Mayer's the risk point. Bowers is not getting played off the field no matter what. Mayer could get played off the field, so you do need to see 2 tight ends out there because he's probably playing behind Brock Bowers for most of next year. But the team here, final team, a 2-7-6-3. So a unique build here. We have Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels, seven running backs with James Conner, Austin Eckler, Chase Brown, Rico Dowdle, Marshawn Lloyd, Chuba Hubbard, Roschon Johnson. If you can't make it up in quality, you make it up in quantity. Wide receiver, we never went back. We took our six, never touched it again. Extreme zero RB build with Marvin Harrison Jr., Garrett Wilson, DK Metcalf, Cooper Kupp, Terry McLaurin, Christian Kirk. We have the correlation for Washington, Ben Sinnott as well, Jatavion Sanders, Michael Mayer. So some mini correlations here for, I would say, fairly esoteric at this point, Carolina touchdowns. Chuba, bad outcomes for him, abound with Jonathan Brooks and Rashad Penny getting added. But maybe we capture a few touchdowns there. That's going to be the hope. You only look the time of day in the Best Ball Manifesto. Festo said there was an actual soft spot in the early afternoon Easter time. Wasn't a huge difference, though, of course. There you go. There we go. Agreed that Vidal should not be priced in front of Lloyd, but J.K. Dobbins will be on IR by week four, and Gus Edwards is Gus Edwards. Fine making that cheap. I agree. If it's cheap, he just shouldn't be ahead of Marshawn Lloyd. Seems okay. I'm still flaccid. That hurts. These Malachi Corley drafters are going to hate it when it's Rodgers guy. Yeah, that's possible. I mean, Alan Lazard has been historically a slot guy, but you know, Malachi Corley is living in Aaron Rodgers' guest house. So that's a positive, I suppose. I think we're gonna call it one draft today, guys, just because of the fact that I'd like to save the two for Friday if I can. And frankly, I don't want to blow my load in BBM a little bit too early. So nice, unique team that'll be difficult to replicate. I love to hear that from Young Beastie. Of course, guys, we're doing drafts every Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. So this one was a fast one, a 40-minute draft. But please subscribe down below. Please hit that like button. No matter what, I show up and do the drafts Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. And that is a promise here. I'll talk about the data. I'll talk about my takes. I'll explain it. I'll read your chats and try to give you the reasons why I agree or disagree with you. That is the only show in the world you're going to get that every single day. Of course, with the news updates, with everything going on, we talk about it all here. So that's the reason you should be hitting that like button and subscribe down below, both of which help me out a bunch here as an independent proprietor of a channel. Of course, Underdog, promo code SPLASH on there. This is your last week, by the way, to get the full deposit match. Next week, they're moving to a 50% deposit match. It'll be a little bit higher potentially, but you have to put in more money to get that 50%. So take the advantage of it. If you're new to Underdog, promo code SPLASH right now, double your deposit up to $100 before that goes away. And it is going away, I believe, actually end of this week. So do that now. Probably, my baby, build your bankroll for best ball. Change your life in sports betting. Use promo code SPLASH on there to get 50% off your first month or even a year. That means getting all of our data for under 10 bucks for a month, under 100 bucks for a year. Best deal you will find. Stochastic, Sims as well, still going off there. I've seen a few more signups coming in. Play some MLB, play some PGA, play whatever. They have the tools and data for you. Promo code SPLASH on there will get you 15% off on Stochastic. Link in the description as well. Shout out to all the fine folks with that join button. Of course, you too could be supporting the show, being a part of the Squirt Squad, and also getting my Spags rankings, which are now available on the community tab, as well as in the Squirt Squad VIP Discord that you get as being a part of a paying member. Just make sure to sync your YouTube to your Discord, and you'll be good to go getting that channel in there. So check it out. And of course, team reviews as well. I owe a couple guys reviews. I'll be hitting them after the show, but something to keep in mind here. 10 team reviews a month for me. And hey, gamble responsibly. Do that. And also, Draft 69, bonk, bonk, bonk. Here's me eating pussy and dicks. For Draft 60, I'm sorry. The only best ball stream, you're going to hear that phrase. And then here's how we feel on Draft 69. There we go. This too. Follow me at Chris Spags. This is me. Follow me at Chris Spags. Follow the show at Splash Play Pod. Come back tomorrow for more. Another draft coming up then. I will see you guys. Enjoy your days. And of course, good luck. Bye. We'll be right back.